Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Mitch Teich. When it comes to children's literature, it's hard to beat a good animal story. And that's good news for South Milwaukee children's book author Janet Halfman, who has written more than a few animal-themed books in her career. Animals figure in both of her two latest titles, Animal Teachers and A Rainbow of Birds. She's with us now to share the story of both of those stories. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Mitch. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, it's nice to have you back on the program. It's been a few years.
Yes, It's always nice to have new books out.
I imagine it is. Many of your books are centered in the animal world. What do you think it is about animals that you connect with so well?
Well, I think it all goes back to I grew up on a farm in Michigan, a crop and dairy farm, and my dad was one of those farmers who just loved being a farmer. I loved the land, and I was always interested from the time I was a child, like listening to the crickets on the back porch, and you know if we had a bunny running around or whatever. So I think that's where I got my love, because when I started writing children's books, that's what I wanted to do. And back then, that was about 15 years ago. There was sort of a lot of people were saying, well, can't make it writing animal books. But that has really turned around now. So.
and frankly, it seems like kids are fascinated by reading about animals.
I think so. I think they can relate to them. And, you know, if you're going for a walk and you're with kids and you see an animal, they're always so curious about it all.
And I guess the other thing is, you know, you talk about growing up on a farm and having access to a lot of these animals. Many of your young readers are growing up in cities, and this seems like it would be a way to expose them to animals that they don't necessarily get in their everyday life.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's always the aquariums for kids to go to and the parks and things like that. And there's actually quite a bit of wildlife even in the city when you really stop and think about it.
Well, and presumably you did not grow up on a farm with penguins or sea otters.
Right.
So you have two books just out, and they both have animals at their heart. Where do each of these stories start for you?
Animal Teachers, like you say, I've done a lot of books about animals, and when I research an animal, I really like to find those little telling details, you know, exactly how did the mom do this or the dad do this, and exactly how they act. Because I think if you can get some of those details in there, it really brings the story alive for the child. And so in researching, I found that, you know, there were a lot of ways that the parents and even their older siblings were teaching the children, and that just fascinated me, and I thought that would fascinate kids, too, to see that the animals are sort of mirroring the child's world or vice versa.
Maybe before we go on, this would be a great time to get a little sample of what's in Animal Teachers.
Okay. I'm just going to read the first page that just introduces, and then I'll read a couple.
Okay.
Who taught you how to do things? Your parents and others who care about you were your first teachers. Who teaches animals? Let's peek into some animal lessons and find out. Singing lessons. Penguin chicks stay in a huge penguin nursery while their parents are away. To help parents find their chicks among the crowd, the mother and father give singing lessons. Emperor Penguin Chick listens closely to learn the song of his parents before they leave to get fish to eat. When the mamas and daddies return, they'll sing their songs to the huge huddle of hungry chicks. It will be up to each penguin chick to pop up from the crowd and say, "Here I am. Are you a good singer? Who sings to you?"
That's Janet Halfman reading from Animal Teachers. Thank you, first of all. Now, I don't know if the process is the same for all children's picture book authors, but many of the authors and illustrators I've spoken with in the past said that there is little or no contact between the writer and the illustrator before the words and pictures come together. Do you have mental images in mind when you set out to write?
I think I have some mental images, but nothing that I'm going to try to think that the illustrator needs to follow. I mean, you definitely have some of those thoughts in your mind. You know, you sort of have to visualize it to write it because I want it. I think it's almost more feeling than visualizing, because I have to just sort of feel that I'm in that habitat or whatever and doing those things. So for me, I think it's more of a feeling than a visualizing, actually.
Well, and I would think there also has to be a certain amount of faith required on the part of the author that you have just the right illustrator for the project.
Yes. And Animal Teachers is my 40th book now.
Wow.
So you do have to have faith. And I found over the years that so many times the illustrators will add such neat things that I would have never even dreamed of. And they'll give the book a whole new dimension. It really does work out. That way the author has his or her own vision, and the illustrator has his or her own vision. And so it makes a greater whole, I think.
And in this case, the illustrator, Katie Hudson, is not even on the same continent.
Right.
She lives in England.
Difficult. Yes. Uh-huh.
It must be exciting, though, as an author to first see, I don't know whether you see the galley proofs or you see a bound book, and all of a sudden your words have come to life with these images around them.
It is very exciting when you get those, your sample books. And each publisher does it a little different. Some I do see publishers will tell me who the illustrator is going to be and sort of have me sort of look at what their art is like. And others don't, and sometimes you'll see sketches, sometimes you'll see final art, sometimes you'll see galley, sometimes you won't see hardly anything until you see that finished book. So it's very different.
You do have another book that is also just out, and this one is called A Rainbow of Birds. How did this one start to coalesce in your head?
Well, when I wrote A Rainbow of Birds, I had been doing a lot of research on two things for a project I was working on. One was a lot of research on birds, and the other was a lot of research on animal legends, because I love those stories about, why does the skunk have its stripe and, all those kinds of stories. So I was reading a lot of those because I was thinking that I might try to retell one of those.
Right. This is animals meet folklore.
Right. And so one afternoon, our daughter and her kids were over, and it had just been raining really bad outside, and then it stopped raining and the sun came out and we had our windows open because it was summer, and the birds were just going nuts. And I thought to myself, why are those birds going nuts? And so to me, the most magical thing is seeing a rainbow. I've always loved rainbows. So that's how that idea came to me, is the birds are making a rainbow. And so I thought, well, if we can have our legends, birds can have their legends. And it's a story within a story, because the Papa Cardinal, who actually does is pretty much the parenting role for the baby birds, tells the story. And so we have him telling the birds how the birds created the rainbow.
And we can just imagine whether this is really a legend for the birds.
Right.
So we were talking about the illustrator on Animal Teachers, Katie Hudson. Who was it that worked on A Rainbow of Birds with you, and what do you think he brought to the project?
Jack Foster was the illustrator. He lives in Chicago, and he's done just a ton of illustrated books and many other things.
I gather he's also a political cartoonist.
Before he got into children's books, that's what he was.
Wow.
Was a political cartoonist. I don't know that he does much of that anymore, because he really is busy doing the books now. But for A Rainbow of Birds, I think he was a perfect illustrator, because the colors are so bright. That's something that people always mention as soon as they open up. Wow, those are such great colors. And for a rainbow book, and also, one that sort of has a little emphasis on the colors, that's great.
Well, if you wouldn't mind reading a short excerpt from this story as well.
Papa Cardinal and his chicks huddled in a rose bush. Raindrops splish splashed all around them. Papa, tell us a story, cheeped the littlest chick. Yes, yes, begged the others. Wait, 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 let me see, whistled Papa. This story happened long ago, after a summer rain just like this one. The chicks snuggled closer to hear every word. We birds get very lively after a rain, Papa began. On that long-ago day, the birds were livelier than ever. Huge flocks soared high into the sky. Did you go too, Papa? Asked the biggest chick. No, this happened long before I was born. My father told this story to me, and his grandfather told it to him. Papa cleared his throat and continued. The first birds to fly up were the cardinals. That's us, bragged the chicks, puffing out their little chests. Papa chuckled. The cardinals flew from one end of the sky to the other, forming a band of beautiful bright red, he said. Hip hooray, cheeped the chicks. Who went next? The robins, said Papa. Orange breast to orange breast, they lined up below the cardinals. Red stripe, orange stripe, it was quite a sight. And then we go through a bird for every color. And then we come to a page later in the book. As the golden sun peeked from behind a cloud, all the birds still on the ground burst into their merriest song, said Papa. It was a birdtastic cheer. A rainbow of birds stretched across the sky in red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Wow! A rainbow of birds, exclaimed the chicks. Yes, a rainbow of birds, repeated Papa proudly. And that, my chicks, is how the birds gave the world the rainbow.
Janet Halfman reading from A Rainbow of Birds. I was noticing at the end of this book, there are actually all sorts of rainbow facts and fun. And also in Animal Teachers, there's a little question that concludes each section, which reminds me that for kids, they stay immersed in the world of a book longer than we might realize.
Yes, I've heard from a lot of readers that they really enjoy these activities here at the end of A Rainbow of Birds. And actually, I can't take the credit for the questions in this Animal Teacher's book. I wish I could. That was the editor. After the editor bought the manuscript, they said, you know, I think that it would be stronger if we added questions. And so the editor and I came up with these questions. And then we also came up with, we wanted some back matter. And so we thought that, you know, having these sort of fun facts about the animals would be a good thing for the back matter. So
I think it works very well.
Yes, it does.
Well, and it strikes me as I was listening to you read, you know, when you're writing for kids, I would think that you are not just writing for your book to be read. You're often writing for it to be read out loud. How much does the sound of the words matter when you're writing a book? Do you read it out loud as you're going?
I read it out loud. I probably, before I send it off to the editor, I've probably read it out loud 100 times or more. And the sound means so much because every sentence has to sound like a poem. So it matters so much how that sentence, how that works. And I didn't always realize this, but I belong to the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators, and that's one of the things, one of the early things I learned from meetings there, that every single word matters. And the reading out loud just really helps because it has to have that sound.
You were a poet and you didn't know it. Who have been the children's book authors that have been the most important to you, either from when you were a child or since you have made this what you do?
I was sort of different as a child growing up on a farm. We didn't have very many books, so I actually read my parents' books from when they were in school was what were some of the books I read. Like, I loved the story Rumpelstiltskin. That was one of my favorite stories as a child. And when I really fell in love with children's picture books was when my children were young. We would go to the library at least once or twice a week and always get a lot of books. And so, I liked the one about Harry the Dirty Dog. And then since I become a writer, a lot of the nature writers are important to me because I read their books and I also use them for research. Like, I love April Pellicer.
Janet Halfman, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Janet Halfman's latest books are A Rainbow of Birds and Animal Teachers. The latter of the two has just won a 2014 Gold Best Book Award from Oppenheim Toy Portfolio. She lives in South Milwaukee. That's Tuesday's edition of Lake Effect. I'm Mitch Tyke. It's so great to have you listening today, and I sure hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, your NPR station in Milwaukee. Keep listening. Coming your way at 12 noon today, it's Here and Now from NPR and WBUR in Boston. But right now, at 11 o'clock, Fresh Air is next.